When men try to lead us down an unfamiliar path, Pastor Ray Bentley says we need to heed Paul's counsel and remember who owns our lives.
Who is the head? Jesus. And Paul is saying there is a false mysticism that is seeking to replace the head, which is Jesus, in your lives. And he says, don't let it happen. Don't get cheated. Don't lose the reward. The reward is that personal intimacy and relationship with Jesus.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Pastor Ray shows us how food was a point of contention in the early church, an issue where unscriptural leaders were imposing man-made rules upon the people of God. Instead, it's an area where Christ gave us liberty. It's a case study of how liberty and grace should be mixed with restraint and integrity.
Colossians chapter 2. Now, what Paul is talking about here is things that pertain to the law. Verse 16, so let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. God said to his chosen people, and this is interesting, when you read through the Bible, and a lot of times people in reading through the Bible, for young Christians and young believers, if any of you are a recent believer in Jesus and you've accepted Jesus, I want to encourage you to start in the New Testament. Start in one of the Gospels. And if you haven't started one yet, I would say start in John, the Gospel of John. And then when you get done with John, go into the book of Acts and read about the early church and the miracles and things that happened. And then go into the epistles and the letters of Paul and Peter and James and Jude, and then finish with Revelation. And then maybe read it several more times and get familiar with it. I don't generally recommend that brand new Christians start off in Genesis. Not that Genesis is bad. Genesis is great. It's got all these great stories. Tremendous. Exodus is fantastic. Moses and the wilderness. Okay, here we go to the promised land. And then you hit Leviticus. And it's like a dry bones. And you're reading, okay, cut away this part of the sacrifice and put the fat over there. And you're, you just die and burn out. So what I like to tell people is, get familiar with the new, but there will come a time when you are familiar with the new and you should go to the old. Though we have been in the New Testament for quite some time, here we are in Colossians. If you're new or been here for several months, you go, oh, okay, so they're in this book, Colossians. We're actually going through the Bible. And there was a time, actually it was back in the 90s, when we were in Genesis. And we'll continue moving to the right all the way through to the book of Revelation. But the point is there are some people who, for some reason, think that, well, we don't need the Old Testament. That's another God, maybe even another religion, another time. All those dietary laws, it doesn't relate to us. And I want to say that we do believe that all Scripture is God-breathed, even the law. The law is holy, righteous, and good. The problem isn't with the law. The problem is with us. And Paul here is saying, because they had certain holy days and Sabbath days and moon days, Paul is saying, don't let anyone judge you in these things. He is saying a particular diet will not bring you closer to God. Or I cannot, by eating this and not eating that, make myself righteous. And yet there are people who will judge you based on what you eat or what you don't eat. I also want to say that there are very excellent physical reasons for the dietary laws when you actually read them and get into it. They're not just some arbitrary thing where God said, well, I just don't want you to eat that. And okay, well, that's okay to eat. There are actually reasons. And there is a book, if you are interested at all. I know many of you are in the medical field. And if you've never heard of this book or read it, or for any reason are interested, I would encourage this to you. It's called None of These Diseases. I don't have the author's names here, but you could just look that up. None of These Diseases. It was written by two physicians, modern-day physicians, who went through the dietary laws and gave medical, modern evidence that it's the reasons for these laws is that they are healthy. There's a logic to it. There's a reason to it. God said, if you eat this way, it will bring you life. It will be healthy for you, generally speaking. And again, you know, you're going back thousands of years, so some of the things maybe we don't have to be as concerned about today, but in general, the laws are good. And certain Christians that want to follow certain dietary laws, great. But here's the problem. If I am following certain things to eat and not eat because I want to treat my body as a temple and I want to eat healthy, Paul is saying, don't then go to your brother who is not following what you're doing and judge him. On the other hand, let's say you're the free brother that is eating whatever he wants. Don't go to your brother who is on a special diet and honoring the Lord. Don't go and judge him. There is tremendous liberty in being Christians. We are free. We can keep days, special days, or not. I mean, we have a special day called Thanksgiving. That's not in the Bible, but we honor it. And it was actually started by Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president. So we honor it. Now, there may be some people who are now in America. They're from another country. They don't have the same appreciation. They don't want to get together and have turkey, and they have other things that they want to do or eat or celebrate. It's fine. Don't judge them. Don't let them judge you. We have tremendous freedom. But again, in verse 17, Paul gets to the heart of the matter. He says, which all these things are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is Christ. In other words, the laws, the dietary laws, the holy days, the Sabbaths, and the sacrifices are shadows of the substance. Now, whenever you have a shadow, something had to make the shadow. A shadow tells you that there is a reality or a substance that, when light cast upon it, is creating that shadow. These things were the shadows of the substance, but the substance is Christ. And Paul is saying, you know, sometimes religious people can make the shadow, worship the shadow, follow the shadow, and idolize the shadow of things and the rituals over and above the real substance. Jesus said to a bunch of religious people in his day, 2,000 years ago, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but they are they which testify of me. And one of the reasons that we do not only believe in the teaching, the Old Covenant, Genesis, Exodus, all the way through the wisdom literature, Psalms and Proverbs, and then through the prophets, it's the Word of God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that all of these things point to Jesus, even in the Old Covenant. Every sacrifice. Now, there may come a day where you say, okay, I have read many devotions, I've been through the New Testament a number of times, I need something new to challenge me or to see Jesus in a fresh way. Well, maybe you're ready to read the book of Leviticus with some, maybe get a commentary or get some help. And as you read through it, there are five sacrifices, five different kinds. And all five reveal something unique, distinct, special about the Messiah. For instance, there's one that's called the whole burnt offering. There's this food, this meat that is given, and it's thrown into the fire, and it's totally, completely consumed. Well, you begin studying that, it becomes a picture of Jesus who wholly, totally, completely gave himself to be consumed upon the cross. He gave his life. But then you find out there's another sacrifice, or offering rather, that is called the peace offering. Totally different. And in this one, part of the meat would be given and thrown into the fire and to the priest as you're worshiping the Lord. But part of it, you keep back and you eat. And the idea is that you know that you are there, you are making a sacrifice or you're making an offering to the Lord, but you are also eating, and God loves for his children to eat. Food is very important. In fact, food doesn't stop when we get to heaven or when the kingdom of God comes. In fact, it says that the marriage supper of the Lamb, it is literally, it's not just a metaphor of a supper, it's a real supper. There's real food that is going to be brought out. And one of the foods that the angels, who apparently are kind of the waiters, is going to be the hidden manna that was, you know, that rained from heaven. So one of the, we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are the bride of Christ. And one of the things that will be served to all of us is that heavenly, the sweet bread that fell from heaven. There are seven feasts in the Old Testament. God said, I want you to have feasts. And the idea is, why did he want them to feast? Because God knows, God's very practical. He made us, and he knows that we need food for fuel, for energy, but he also knows, beyond just the practicality of that, that when we eat, we get filled with joy. We start laughing. We start telling stories. It energizes us. And it's a great time of fellowship. And that's why God had seven feasts. He said, I want my people to eat, because I know that when my children eat, they get happy. And when they get happy, they start laughing and they start talking and sharing. And I want to actually immerse myself into the joy of your feasting with me. I want you to be happy. And then ironically, we come to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, talking about Jesus standing, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If anyone hears my voice and will open the door, I will come in and sup with him. I mean, he says, I want to have a meal with you. I want to eat with you. I want to laugh with you. I want to share my life with you, my heart with you, my dreams with you. So Paul is saying, look, if these feasts or holy days or whatever are leading you into a more intimate personal communion with the substance of Jesus, praise God. I don't judge a brother or a sister. And if someone else is saying no, because I would, and this could be true, very true, within the same church, another person could say, you know what, I don't do that anymore because I idolized my rituals and the little things I did. And I lost Jesus in the midst of it. So now I don't do it. And I have a new communion and devotion and time with it. Then don't judge that brother or sister as well. One of the great problems within the church has always been legalism and the danger of that kind of legalistic life. Now, verses 18 and 19. Paul gives here a warning against mysticism. So he's kind of preparing the church. He is warning the church. Don't judge one another. One other thought about that was shared with me a long time ago, and it stuck, and so I will share it with you. Don't ever try to be the Holy Spirit in someone else's life. Now, I'm not saying that we can't confront one another in love. I'm not saying, you know, iron sharpens iron. Speak the truth in love. Yes, all of those things. But there can come a point where, having done that, we keep pushing and pressing the issue, and because the people aren't responding, and we are now becoming or getting, I think we can get in the way as we try to be the Holy Spirit to change people. You can't. You can't even change yourself. Only the Holy Spirit can change you. So why would, if you can't change yourself, and only the Holy Spirit can change you, why would you think you could change somebody else? Only the Holy Spirit can change them too. So after having warned that, now Paul warns against mysticism. Verse 18, he says, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Who is the head? Jesus. If a body gets cut off from the head, what happens? The body dies. And Paul is saying there is a false mysticism that is seeking to replace the head, which is Jesus, in your lives. And he says, don't let it happen. Don't get cheated. Don't lose the reward. The reward is that personal intimacy and relationship with Jesus. Now, before we explore this idea, let me say that I do not believe that Christian mysticism per se is bad or wrong. Some of you say, I never even heard of Christian mysticism. Well, it has been around for a long time. And if you search or look or read, there have been many saints, many of our brothers and sisters, who have written their experiences in seeking God in other times, in other generations, in other settings, but you find that the human condition is still the same, the human needs are still the same, and so you can learn from them. And they have, these Christian mystics, both men and women, have written some amazing and phenomenal books. One that I've mentioned before, for instance, Brother Lawrence, The Practice of the Presence of God. Another is by Amy Carmichael, kind of in her writings and devotions, kind of mystical because she got sick on the mission field. She spent years in bed, not able to do what she had left all to go and do. She wanted to rescue the little babies and girls that were being thrown into the prostitution and weird cults. So she ran it, but she ran it from bed for years, suffered tremendously. But there was something about that suffering and that pain and agony that drove her into a depth of relationship. And she writes about that. And I have been blessed by her writings, as many others have. Paul then is warning against a false mysticism. There's nothing wrong with a mysticism that draws you into a deeper communion with the Lord. But there are other kinds of mysticism in the world. And Paul was warning against the imagination of what are called the Gnostics, who are recently being made, their ideas and writings made popular again. And part of it based on, I guess, the Da Vinci Code was written based on another book that was written that was based on the Gnostics. The very people that Paul was warning his church about, their beliefs are right here today. And there are millions of people going, hey, wait a second, maybe. And Paul says, don't be cheated. Learning the secrets of the spiritual world can be very enticing. And what makes you more vulnerable maybe than most is here you are in church. You already have a spiritual sensitivity. You already have a desire for drawing close to God. So that's something that can be taken advantage of. And so you've got the tarot cards, which I know there are some that are just, you know, they play games or they want to, you know, they're at a carnival and they turn over some cards and tell you some things because they read a little book on it and make some money, or they're charlatans. But then there are others who give themselves over to the spiritual realm, and it can be a way to open yourself up to the spirit world. Christianity is not the only way to open yourself to the spiritual world. It's the only way to go to heaven, but there's another world you can open yourself to and become spiritually energized by. And it's very elusive. It's very enticing, energizing. It's you see evidence of things and reality beyond what you can see. Be careful. Seeking mediums who talk to the dead. They are designed to exude mystery. And there are millions falling prey to it. Now, the idea of medium is that, okay, you guys are neophytes. You're not able to go into the spirit world as well or directly. But there are some people who are gifted. And they can connect on a human level, but they can also connect and listen to and talk with a little bit the spirit world. And so they become your medium, or they become your mediator between the two worlds. Paul is saying you don't want another medium, let alone another mediator between you and God. You don't need anybody between you and the Lord. You don't want, because the thing is, they, as he mentions here, angels. Apparently, 2,000 years ago, this is how Gnosticism manifests itself. Angels would come. I'm sure there were some people who just made up stories about angels just because they wanted to be spiritually thought of as, I was visited by an angel. Oh, really? Yes. And he told me all about heaven. He did. Well, what's heaven like? And then, you know, with vivid imagination and storytelling ability, they describe in great detail heaven. Wow. And so now, I don't have any visions like that. Angels never come to me. So now you slowly begin to develop a connection and a dependence upon this person and their visions without realizing it slipping away from your intimacy with Jesus. Paul says, don't listen to that. They're probably making it up and they're puffed up. There may be some that really are visited by angels, but if they are a medium, those messages of those angels are not what you want to hear. Because if there really is a spirit world where there are holy angels and Gabriel and Michael, and on the other side, there is a Lucifer who was created by God and who rebelled and took a third of the angels in rebellion with him, then there can be spiritual beings whose purpose is to lie and to deceive and to rob and to divert and, you know, challenge the throne of God, the kingdom of God, the gospel, Jesus, etc. And just because there's something that can't be explained, that seems real, yeah, it's real, it can be real, but beware of it. Or you get caught into, and this has happened many times, someone I've known that got saved, gave their lives to the Lord, and after a while, they go through a dry spell. Every Christian goes through a desert experience. They go through a dry spell. It's a testing. So what are you going to do now? It's dry. Just like the children of Israel in the wilderness. We don't like it here. I'm going back to Egypt. Metaphor for the world. Yeah, I was a slave there, but at least they had, you know, leeks and onions. You know, I was a slave and they whipped me and I had to make bricks my whole life, but man, they had good food. So I'm going back. Okay, great. Well, there are people that get in a dry spell. Church isn't enough, and I don't get enough out of the Bible, and you know, so they hear of something mystical over here, and it's a little group, small group, and it seems like there's this real, you know, fellowship, and there's some interesting things and some secrets, and there's always this little clique, a little society that gets developed, and people are drawn into it, and it could be any one of these things. And Paul is saying, don't do it. Don't let go of Jesus. Don't cut yourself off from the head. We don't need a mediator. We can go directly to Jesus for our strength and comfort.
Good insight, good instruction from Pastor Ray Bentley today here on Maranatha Radio. We're learning where to place our trust from Paul's writings in the book of Colossians. And to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's Stay Free in Jesus. And we can send it your way for just $7. Again, the message title is Stay Free in Jesus. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Colossians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. What's the most surprising facet you uncover in your book? What brings the biggest wow when you tell people about this material?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is learning about the feasts of the Lord. I think the church has done a great job of looking at the feasts in the spring that go from Passover, when Christ was crucified, to the resurrection, and then Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell. But there are three more feasts that are in the fall, and those three feasts point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and really are all about the second coming. They all point to the days I think we're living in right now, Dave, and I think people will be fascinated to learn more about these feasts, how they reveal more about Jesus Christ and the hope of His return.
You know, many New Testament believers look at the feasts as simply an historical fact, and they don't really actually pull that material into their day-to-day relationship with the Lord, but that really is a mistake, isn't it?
It is. The next feast to be fulfilled, it's all these allusions, really, to the return of Jesus Christ. And I think it's going to be mind-boggling for people to look into this and understand deeper layers that will ignite their faith and put fire in their soul for sharing the Lord.
All right. Well, Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Colossians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.